Clinton, thanks so much for your time this
morning.
Thank
you very much. Thank you very much for having me. You're right. There's so many details and people speculating that it's hard to separate fact from speculation.
And I only heard about this case, honestly, maybe a month ago, but I understand that, you know, the real events that sort of kicked this all off happened years back.
Yeah, I mean, of course, we've been spying on the Timorese and so on for a long time. Would you like me to go into the background?
Yeah. Okay. How did this start?
It started because in 2002, 3 months before East Timor was about to become independent, Australia withdrew from the jurisdiction of the International Court of Justice when it comes to maritime border disputes. So the Alexander Downer's foreign minister simply told the International Court of Justice that Australia won't accept its jurisdiction when it comes to maritime dispute settlements. As a result, when Timor became independent, it couldn't take us to the International Court of Justice to say that they want an arbitrator on where the border between us and Timor should be. International law generally favors a median line, an equidistant point halfway between the Timorese coast and the coast of Darwin. But Australia refused to agree to that. We wanted to go all the way, almost to the Timorese coastline, much more than halfway. We compelled the Timorese to get into negotiations directly with us rather than go to an independent umpire like the International Court of Justice. Now, in order to influence the negotiations, Alexander Downer ordered the Australian Secret Intelligence Service, our overseas spy agency, to spy on the Timorese negotiating team by bugging the walls of the negotiating room in order to eavesdrop on their discussions, their confidential discussions. And so the ACES, the Secret Intelligence Service, under cover of an aid program, a foreign aid program to reconstruct Timor, installed bugs in the government offices in Dili, the capital. And as a result, the Timorese position was known. It was found to be, they were made to sign a treaty that was not really fair. But they just went along with it because we seemed to kind of anticipate their arguments. Now, when that treaty was signed, it was beneficial to a number of gas companies like Woodside Petroleum, ConocoPhillips. Well, the Secretary of the Department of Foreign Affairs and Trade resigned from DFAT and joined the board of directors of Woodside. And Alexander Downer, after he left politics, took up a consultancy with Woodside Corporation. And this kind of annoyed some people inside ACES who believed that they'd been used for, not really for the national interest. At the same time, there was a terrorist attack on the Australian embassy in Jakarta in September 2004, and ACES assets were pulled away from there, that's the sort of rumor, in order to go and eavesdrop on the Timorese. Right? And so that kind of further angered people in ACES. And so the director of all technical operations for ACES made a formal complaint inside the system. It's not a whistleblowing in the conventional sense. He made a protected disclosure. And ACES constructively dismissed him. And so they told him, your rights are, you can go and see a lawyer. And you can see, these lawyers. So he went and saw the ACES-approved lawyer, Bernard Collery. Collery arranged for testimony to be given overseas in a confidential hearing. And ultimately, the government ASIO raided both Collery and Witness K and confiscated Witness K's passport. They call him Witness K because under the law, you're not allowed to reveal his name. And so here we are. Now they're going to prosecute Witness K and Bernard Collery for revealing the government's own crimes.
And I didn't realize that it was a protected complaint either. It wasn't sort of, you mentioned.
Well, that's why we don't know who Witness K is, and the specific details of the operation and are not known to the public anyway, because he was entitled within the ACES system to kind of make a formal complaint, and he was constructively dismissed. See, if an ACES officer has an industrial dispute, just like you might have with your employer, well, the ACES officer can't go to any lawyer. There are certain lawyers who have an arrangement with ACES to not reveal the identities of people, and so you can go to that lawyer. And so Bernard Collery was that lawyer. And so, ACES has formal procedures in place, and Witness K followed those procedures.
And now both Collery and his client have said that this is a violation of their free speech, and there's been pushbacks from human rights groups this week.
Yes.
What are some of, I guess, the controversies surrounding this case in regards to human rights?
The obvious controversy is constitutional in nature, right? I mean, there is an implied freedom of political communication on matters of federal politics, and that's a high court decision. You know, you and the media are very well aware of it. Certain things that protect you and me. And so the question of whether revealing what these people believe to have been government malfeasance, you know, like taking away assets from the war on terror and using it to spy on Timor, and then taking up consultancies and jobs and so on inside a gas corporations, you know, is revelation of that not covered by the implied freedom of political communication? So that's a constitutional matter, and I think you know, I don't know the inside details of Collery's case. I mean, I've never met his lawyers or anything like that, but I assume that they would definitely try, they would likely try that angle in the first place before they ever talk about prosecution. Then there's another matter, of course, which is that at the time of the bugging, the infant mortality rate, which is the number of children per 1,000. Who die before they reach the age of one. The infant mortality rate in East Timor was 55 per 1,000. In Australia, it was just 5 or less than 5 per 1,000, which is basically what it's now. It's about 3.8 now. So Timor kind of needed that, the resources, the gas resources in the field, you know, that one field that it had. Whereas we've got several, and, you know, we have less needs, you know, a richer country. So there, you know, there's that human rights angle as well. But I've got to say, none of that is likely to be introduced into the courtroom. You know, the courtroom is a kind of the effort to win acquittal usually proceeds along lines of legal technicalities, what you and I might consider legal trivialities. You know, it's only on shows like this that we can air. You know, matters of human and political significance.
And speaking of the courtroom, this hearing has been pushed back to September. And if it does go ahead, I mean, do we have any indication on what the chances are that these men will end up being prosecuted?
Oh, well, I mean, the prosecution's happening. You know, the reason for the pushback to September the 12th is simply, I think, at the request of Witness K's lawyers, because they need more time to prepare. And the 12th September is what's called a directions hearing, which means that they will simply decide the conditions and the timing when the real prosecution will happen. But the prosecution is going ahead. Look, I mean, only the Attorney General, Christian Porter, can step in to discontinue it. But it's definitely going ahead.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and that's two-year prison sentence in store for them.
Jeez, and so that's going ahead. They're probably going to end up in prison.
Well, the case is going ahead, right? The charges have been pushed. I mean, look, here's the thing: there is the Commonwealth Director of Public Prosecutions is an independent authority who makes certain decisions. And part of the decision making process is set out in the prosecution policy of the Commonwealth. That's the term of their document, and of course, for openness and accountability, you know, those who make a decision to prosecute should be required to justify publicly why they've chosen to prosecute. I mean, after all, investigative and prosecutorial resources are scarce and limited. It's a finite asset, and so you've got to pick only certain causes that have a great public interest. Okay, so the Director of Public Prosecutions is a former counsel for the Trade Union Royal Commission, the one that was set up by the Abbott government to go and go after the trade union movement. And so she's now the Director of Public Prosecutions and has not said anything about why it's in the public interest that this prosecution go ahead. So, yep, it's definitely happening. You know, and the government will try and shut down the entire matter to the public. I mean, the government will try and have a closed hearing. So, you know, it'll be kind of in order to keep the public away. Because what I think might happen is that Collery or Kay will try and compel Alexander Downer to testify as a witness. And that's hugely embarrassing for the government.
It's definitely going to be one to keep an eye on, Clinton. Thank you so much for your time this morning.
Oh, thank you for taking an interest in it. Appreciate it.
That was Professor Clinton Fernandez. He's a professor in international and political studies at UNSW Canberra.